Previously on Tomorrow's End.
I think the best question that I've been asked in at least 2 years, do you know anybody who has a gorilla suit or looks like one?
You might be doing sex wrong.
Spoilers. Yes, yes.
Don't you got some teeth to brush, you paleolithic fuck?
Hey, I resemble that remark.
What are we like? Listen to the podcast. We're a bunch of psychopaths.
I only went to try to get into a guy's pants, which, by the way, totally worked.
You know, I like to masturbate in public.
Oh, we're just getting started.
Welcome to After Tomorrow's End, Episode 2, with your host, Will Jennings, or Iron Angel, or whoever I am this week. In this episode, we reveal all kinds of spoilers, things Tim alluded to or was beginning to allude to in the last episode, some spoilers about the characters, some spoilers about the players, and just some really bizarre, weird tangents because, well, that's what we do. Hope you enjoy it. I'll see you on the other side.
The warlords of the area will become looking for you.
Correct. Which is something, let's be honest, Morrow didn't plan on.
No.
Well, Morrow planned on coming out, you know, 30 years post-fall, not 200 years yes. after other societies had already built themselves.
You are correct. And you guys haven't read the book. I know you haven't read towards the back of the book where it says, don't read past year unless you're the director.
Yep.
People listening probably will have. And if you haven't, well, here's a spoiler.
Well, let's go to that part then. Let's actually go to, you know, before the war.
Okay.
Let's cover that.
Before
because
the
we
war,
need to.
The war was supposed to happen in the 80s. But Morrow stopped the war from happening. The problem is that there is a Z factor that's still all the way to the end and to this day in the game, even in the advanced timeline that we're in. Most games are set, if you follow the book, 150 years after the fall. We are much further past that. And I put us much further past it for a reason.
243, aren't we?
Yes. I put it much further past it for a reason. And it's simply to have more story plots. I can reveal a bunch of stuff, but it would kind of ruin it right now, so I'm not going to.
Let's
spoilers.
Not ruin it.
Yes, yes.
But there is.
I'll just put like 15 minutes of beeps in there, and okay. we'll say you did.
There's an unknown factor that Morrow learned about when he traveled to the future.
The future? I have not read my Morrow books. Jesus.
No, we haven't covered that, but anybody who has the book and buys it and reads it will read this section.
Well, in that case, should we, not to interrupt, but since we're basically doing here's the world, here is everything like that, do we want to do a brief, like, here is the Morrow story?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that way there's some context to, you know, the pieces that you're adding into it, because,
absolutely.
Like, for me, myself, I've read the wiki of Morrow. I haven't read the game books, but I've read through that.
You've read more than I have then.
Okay. Morrow 101 is very simple. A man had a very special gift. Bruce Morrow had a psionic gift of being able to do temporal teleportation. Temporal teleportation is basically travel in time. He can, by using his mind, move forward and backwards in time. He started moving forward in time and found out that a world-devastating war was going to happen. So he came back to start setting things into motion to try to help the world after that war. He figured he couldn't stop the war, but he figured he could start something to fix the world after the war, which is the Morrow Project. He financed the Morrow Project the way most anybody with time travel would do. You go back a few hundred years and put a penny in the bank. Invest in wheel good. But his actions in creating the Morrow Project stopped the war from happening. So he went forward in time again to find out, was he successful? And he ran into someone called Krell. And when he went to the future, he found that Krell had destroyed everything. His family and everything that he knew was destroyed and dead. So he came back, and he also learned a couple other things. One of which that the world is going to actually have another war, but that's not what's going to wipe out the human race. What's going to wipe out the human race is basically a giant meteor, which, if you have not read Lucifer's Hammer, go do that. It is an awesome book.
There's an audiobook version on YouTube.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Or archive.org, one of the two.
Okay. As soon as the world found out about the meteor, because it was easy to spot by NASA and things like that, of course, the world decided to start, hey, we got nukes, screw everyone else. And they started slinging them. So the Earth was pretty much nuked from surface to surface before the meteor hit, and the meteor just spread it around a little.
Which is where you get all the, you know, we talk about the hot spots and things like that, you know.
Yep.
If you look in the book, there's an official, this place gets hit by this, this place gets hit by this, so on and so forth. But in the old version, and there's an online thing where you can actually set up your own MIRV weapons and you can nuke your own hometown.
Oh, man, you can spend
I kind of want to do that.
Oh, it's cool. The funny thing is, we were actually at one of the specific locations last week, I guess it was.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. We actually took a picture and threw it up on social media, which needs to go on the Morrow site, too. One of the actual targets, which is a giant lake they built on top of a hill in Ledington called the Ledington Pump Storage Project. And Ashcan and I were talking about cool shit that could happen. Because if you detonate, say, I think it's in the 10 PSI or 15 PSI overpressure range, it's going to crack the dam and drain most of it. So yeah. Now you've got this glowing lake up on top of things where, you know, when you're going to come of age, you have to go up there and swim in the lake.
Yeah. So come back with a tail extra arm.
That explains a lot about Ledington.
Exactly. Ledington is full of mutants.
But when the war happened, that wiped out 98% of the population. Then the meteor hit and took out the rest of it. In our world that we're playing, the meteor hit in Eurasia. Basically, Pacific, right on China and the Pacific Ocean, enough to kick up mud and everything else.
Where they're building that new island.
Yeah, right in there. What that does is that allows me to make part of California destroyed, but also a lot of salt water made it on the other side of the mountains. Can you imagine the size of that tsunami? It allows some changes. And that's the fun part about the game, actually any game. You can, whoever's running it, you're in control. The book is a guideline. It's not the law. The whole point is to make it fun.
Please take note, those who tend to bust out a rule book anytime somebody's talking about what their character's doing, have fun with the story, y'all. Have fun playing games with your friends.
Oh, yeah. I've let you guys do all kinds of things that you should not have been able to do, but it was really cool. So,
and kept us from dying when we should already be dead.
Yep.
Yeah, you currently should be a torso.
I should be.
Just say thank you.
A blown up torso. Thank
Just
you.
Thank you, say thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Doc.
She'd be an angry, chattering torso in the corner of the vehicle.
Yeah, but then she would have got shot in the shoulder, so.
You know, we glazed over a number of injuries, you know, like Doc got shot in the foot and stuff like that, so.
Well, yeah, but role-playing, I'm putting a Band-Aid on my foot is kind of.
Yeah, and because it's been such a, you know, a speed run, and we haven't had time to mourn the lost characters because we haven't actually named them yet.
Well.
But yeah,
technically their bodies are still there.
Yeah, right.
Well, one of them's probably being chewed on. You guys did leave
one of them
open.
One's on
we'll
fire.
Have a memorial.
Oh yeah, that's right. You burned it to a crisp.
Jesus.
No. We didn't. We
bacon.
Didn't.
Well, yeah. No, these two.
Right.
What now?
Go back and listen to episode one.
Yeah.
Not me then.
Doc and Ashcan. Well, bacon. Doc opened it, and then Ashcan decided that looting. There's creamy center inside these.
It's like mummy jerky.
Burial's overrated.
Well, yeah, and honestly, Doc has been through taking the time to bury the body is dangerous.
Very dangerous.
You're going to leave a mark that you have something. Well, first of all, you got something to be able to take time to dig a hole. You must have resources.
Bury them with a live grenade.
Well, okay. Didn't he set off an explosion in the bolt hole?
No, he set it on fire.
Oh, okay.
Bolt hole.
No, there was no boats.
I said bowhole.
We need to enunciate.
We're in Michigan. People don't do that. They don't say their T's.
Does it sound like I said butthole?
Yes. He set something on fire in the butthole.
That was some good chili.
Boy, that always burns.
Burns so good.
Nope. Time to stop.
And again, this is why it takes us an hour and a half to get 45 minutes of audio.
Because, I mean, let's just put this in the open. Around the table, all of us are probably over the age of 30.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Everybody is.
I'm 28, motherfucker.
All right.
Oh, we got a youngin.
In October, you will be.
29.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For the my grandma's time. Still 29. Just ask her.
What?
You've been 29 my whole damn life.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, you know, one of the crazy parts of this is the fact that we're all over a certain age, and we're still fucking adolescents.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, 100%.
Fart jokes still are laughing, you know. She said butthole. You know. I mean, see?
I did not say bae.
Yep.
It's stupid to kind of...
He shook his head.
To kind of let it out in that fashion. But, I mean, seriously, we have fun doing this.
World's oldest toddlers right here.
Just with a better vocabulary.
At 45 years old, I'm still gaming. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, actually, it was literally last week. I thought, all right, you know, when do I stop? And I thought to myself, I'm probably of that age group where I really enjoyed something about role-playing and gaming because it was social and demented and weird, but fun.
Mm-hmm.
And at 45, I should not be playing, quote-unquote, kids' games.
Fuck that. If
and
you're having
so
fun, I say
keep
doing it.
It's so funny that how much fun I actually do have doing it. And I'm not suggesting that there's an age cutoff point, but what I'm finding is, all right, I'll say it out loud. Back in our day, John, Tim, you guys can jump on board here. You didn't talk about playing D&D because you would get fucking mocked and rocks thrown at you.
Oh, hell yeah.
And absolutely. Now it's commonplace.
I did a high school speech presentation on the origins of D&D, and I still deeply regret it.
Oh, and here's another thing.
I was in a documentary film. You think you regret it?
Here's the thing. If you look at this around the table, there's three women at this table.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, you know how many of my gamer friends just freak
absolutely
the hell out about
this? Freak the fuck out. And you know what? We could probably put our hands on three more
easily
gamer chicks.
Easily. Here's the other thing. There's three hot women around the table.
Yeah.
Suck it out there.
Your gamer friends have added me on Facebook because of this. Yeah.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And they're really weird.
Well, which is half the fun.
Yeah, which is absolutely entertaining. Absolutely.
I don't know why they were surprised. They've listened to the podcast, right?
I don't think they knew about the fire show.
Well, yeah, it's the pictures of, like, you know, the giant flaming umbrella over your head that they're like, holy crap, is that Photoshop? No, that's something Tim took a picture
of. You know,
here's video.
It gets to be crazy that if we look around on how much fun we still have with this and how creative we can be at this age. Mm-hmm. Again, creative at this age.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is still my favorite activity to do
it
in my
totally
spare time.
You know,
my favorite.
You
might be doing sex wrong.
Nope, I think I'm still right. I don't take back what I said.
I got two kids, so fuck off. I got this down. No, as a matter of fact, one of the fascinating parts about my wife and I is her ex-husband was a gamer. And she was like, oh. You like to play D&D. So she sat and listened to me play D&D one night, and she goes, that's certainly not how my ex-husband did it. And I said, that's not the only thing he did.
But
that was that whole process.
Well, that was where I was heading is, you know, there's no reason role-playing can't be something more than just gaming. You use it in work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what is training? You're doing a training scenario. What is that? That's role-playing.
But yeah.
LARP.
But you have to trick people into it because...
Whatever. LARPs are awesome. I had a blast.
Hell yeah.
I only went to try to get into a guy's pants, which, by the way, totally worked.
There was you and 30 dudes.
I know, right? But no, and I'm sitting here like, it's going to be stupid. And then like 2 days into the event, someone claiming to be a giant rat comes up and attacks me, air quotes, from the back, and I run for my fucking life, and I take cover, and I find out I am shaking, and my heart is pumping, and I am loving every single fucking second of it.
Absolutely.
And that's why sex with gamers is better. But who around the table other than Ashcan can, you know, legitimately say, yeah, I LARPed with cops. I got to jump around the corner and shoot, you know, blanks at cops.
I have died in front of cops and freaked out and gotten arrested by them in these events.
I put together that role-playing game, Absolutely. LARP.
But yep. that is basically a LARP, though. When you're training for disaster stuff, that's really a LARP.
I got when to be Ashcan's abusive wife.
Oh, there you go.
Let's just, I'll tell you what, if you give me a blank check and federal money, I can make a hell of a fucking LARP.
Oh, God.
And that's a fact.
I believe.
Ask those two.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons, when I was younger, actually, my first gateway drug to the RPG game world was Morrow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. My parents took me to
Holy God,
a
you're old.
Game shop. I was little. Took me to a game shop because we were looking for board games and stuff, and there was a gentleman there who had his own game system that he made. It was over in Detroit, and it was the Morrow Project.
Oh, you bastard. That's why you've been so tied into this for so long.
Yes. Yeah. And I begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and convinced my father to give me the next 10, basically the rest of the summer's worth of lawn mowing money so that I could spend it on what this guy was selling. I consumed it like a madman, and I convinced my friends to play and everything else. And the way I explained it to my friends to get them into it was, I said, well, why are we playing this? I said, it's real easy. This makes every movie you ever seen a piece of crap. Movies suck compared to this. It's not as fast. When you get into it, it's not the same. But once you get moving, becomes more real in your eye, in your mind's eye, than any movie could ever do it for
if
you.
I may, what happens is there's a lot of people who never get this part of their brain turned on. Okay.
Oh, I believe that. Mm-hmm.
When I take this to adults, you know, grown adults, quote unquote professionals, they're in their field, they're doing this, and you just start something slowly with them, as soon as they become emotionally involved, they start to learn something very valuable about the world around them. What I have found with fellow role players, a lot of the time, we can deal with certain things because we've already kind of went through, if not an experience of it, but at least a role-playing aspect of it, so that we can meld ourselves to what's happening. Some can, some can't, but we do it at a most, you know, regular type basis. We bring also to the table what we know. Mm-hmm. And the crazy part is when you grow up doing this, Tim, all of a sudden you can be an expert and you've only been 5 days on the job, but it's because you've got the aspect of being able to talk to who people.
Yes.
Oh, you've got the ability to teach. That's a tough thing to locate. People go to school to learn how to teach, and they fail all the time. Go run a D&D game for a bunch of 15-year-olds. See how good you are at it. All right, and that will tell you what kind of teacher you are. When you capture that aspect and turn that portion of somebody else's brain on to where, oh, wow, okay, yeah, I get it. So in this instance, I should be doing X. If they're asking or telling you that, oh, okay, this is what we have or this is what we normally would do, and you say, well, in the chance that it's a tornado, is that going to work for you? It sounds pretty simple, but it's a role-playing game that you just do.
You know, it's really fun when you're playing with new players for the first time, people who've never gamed before. And it's even more fun when you're doing it with adults. And they start getting into it. And at first, everyone's always a little skeptical, and they start trying to, you know, be what they think the character should be. And, you know, then they get to that point where they start getting into it and they start becoming emotionally invested in it. And you see it in their eyes, the excitement that they have when shit starts happening and they start reacting to it without thinking first about what's appropriate for the game. And that is one of the most gratifying things in the world, is watching that part of somebody's Indeed. Brain turn on.
And you know what the most gratifying thing in the world is as a GM?
Is crushing
when,
it. Happen.
When you make one of those
crushing
roles,
your,
you
crushing
make,
your dreams.
You make an adult visibly cry over the murder of a bunch of numbers on a piece
I've totally,
of paper.
I've totally done that. I've been on both ends of that. It's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, the hands raised around the table is kind of ugly.
You can't throw up horns properly. It's really sad.
When it's all
Look at
said
that
and
flaccid
done,
pinky.
It's just a pile of numbers on a piece of paper.
Yep. But it's so much more than that.
Yes.
And the thing is that you invest so much time and emotional and mental energy into your character and the world that you're building, that when something like that does happen, or when a major event happens in your character's life and you have to adapt to it, there is an impact to it. You've invested a lot of fucking time into this game and into this character. He is level 15, and it's the first time you've gotten a character that high, and you built it well, and you're really pumped because they
just fucking killed me.
Right, and then suddenly, you know, he gets lich power. He turns into a lich, and you're like, enjoy. And you're like, no, this was not. I had a plan. I had a plan for his
It's magnified even farther in LARP. Amazing.
Oh yeah.
But that's you know, this is the aspect of when you become by doing this. This is just a fantastic way for a bunch of friends to get together and have a great time.
And as long as somebody you know owns the books, it's fairly cheap.
Right.
And the
PDFs,
other, but,
y'all.
But the other aspect of it is, do you realize, you know, there's a lot of people who really wish we were doing, or they were doing exactly what we're doing.
Oh my God. Do you know that's the only reason I had played Morrow once? And it was because I heard this podcast was happening and Mobius asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. And are you fucking kidding me? I get to game in a podcast? Hell yes. I didn't care what system we were playing. I didn't care what was happening. I wanted to be a part of it.
And this is the fun part to it. I got friends in Alaska. I've got friends out in California, friends out in Washington, you know, friends who actually, I mean, let's face it. We got friends here in town.
Friends you can call, you know, like 45 minutes before game starts. Do you want to come be an NPC for us, Leah?
What are you doing? Right?
What are you doing tonight?
That totally happened.
Our friend Nate.
Well, we had groupies.
Yeah.
We had listeners watching.
Yeah. I mean, the fun part is we got our friend Nate. Nate Sterling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is just trying to figure out to fix his life so he can get 6 hours to come over here because he wants to be a villain. He wants to be something, a townsman. He doesn't care.
He'd be great as a villain.
Oh, he would?
Oh, yeah.
I would love
yeah.
that.
You know,
oh,
but
I
he's,
am so
he's quite
a
busy
life.
Man. But he's such a busy, busy guy.
Yep.
Much like a lot of people that we know. Because I think a lot of adults who grew up role-playing, like ourselves, or adults who have some free time finally, could probably get into it.
Oh, yeah. It's I'm one of the rare ones, actually. A group that I do beta testing with of other game systems, we're unicorns because we've been 6 years straight every Thursday night.
Holy yeah. shit. I have never had a game last 3 months
hey,
of
hey,
that
hey,
kind of consistency.
Just settle down. We're getting
we're
there.
Over.
Well, it's
okay. You're in one now.
I know, and it's glorious.
The only way it's been able to work is that we all had to make the decision. No, we have to do this. We need this. And I know one of the guys.
I think
saved
you just
his,
coined it. Thank you. Know, you. We need this.
It saved his sanity.
Yeah.
You know, it's three of the guys. Their company went out of business recently. They're now unemployed, and this is their sanity.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
It was mine when I was unemployed.
But you know, you look forward to it. I mean, you look forward to seeing people. You know, sometimes I don't want to see his ugly face, but.
Aww, oh boy, we're gonna right? get together in the garage and put robot
Whatever.
Dicks in our mouth.
But I mean,
and it's the glorious, it's the combination of not only hanging out with people you enjoy spending time with, though, so much so that as an adult you choose to spend your extra time with them.
Absolutely.
But it's also like, you know, you get to see the next episode of your favorite show come out.
Yep.
And you get to experience with friends in the same way, but you're creating
but
the
you're
story.
But you're creating the
and
next show.
And you've been
show.
Thinking mm-hmm. about yeah. it. You've been thinking about what you're gonna do and where you want your character to go and what you hope is gonna happen. And then the game starts and it all goes out the fucking window because of course it does.
Yeah, and that's just how.
And that's and you roll with it and you just have a fucking blast.
Yep.
It's, you know, whoever listens to this, understand this is a Friday night.
Yep.
This isn't Tuesday night, you know, because, oh, we're saving our weekends for family shit. My lovely family's inside. And my wife thinks it's funny as shit that I'm sitting in a garage role playing taping it. He's like, you know, I got some other friends who are like, you're doing what? And I'm like, dude, we're just taping a podcast over a role-playing game. And a couple of them look at me and like, I don't even get that shit. You're still into that? And I'm like, yeah. Like, you're still into playing a fucking rock music like you're in a rock band? And then it's like, that's kind of personal. You know what?
Or fantasy football.
Ultimately, it's just a different take on it. But as soon as you say, I have so much fun, people are like, well, what are you doing? And it's like, just listen.
Right.
And then they start to listen to it. And it's like, wow, that is pretty cool.
I will say, though, I had this thought today because one of my coworkers was asking me what I was doing this weekend. I was like, oh, you know, Friday, I'm recording a podcast. And I thought if I should elaborate more about the podcast. Like, luckily, she didn't look interested enough to where I had to continue. But my first thought wasn't initially like, oh, is she going to think down on me because I role play? It was, I don't know if I want somebody from work listening to this podcast because I don't know what that says about me.
DiarrhumberDick.com.
But what's really fascinating about that statement is somebody's going to come back to you. You know, it's going to come up in conversation of like, oh, hey, did you know, Kristen does a podcast. Maybe we should talk to her about blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden you're the fucking expert because you're on a podcast.
Right.
Well, can we listen to what you're doing? No.
It's just better for everybody if we don't.
And that's where you go, well, it's a whole lesbian thing. And then they're like, knowing where you work, it'd be like,
I don't want to listen to them lesbian podcasts. I might catch lesbians.
There's a lot of wholesome people at my job.
Wholesome, is that the word we're using?
A lot of wholesome. Wholesome.
So
wholesome.
Okay.
I'm not going to say the company name because I like my job a lot and I don't want to lose it.
Bombshell right there. All of you guys out there that have been asking,
and we really swear a lot.
What does Alex look like? What's she sounds Alex hot. Like? Oh, no. She's so guys, hot.
Tim,
sorry.
Tim,
sorry, guys.
I'm editing
she
that
eats
out.
At the Y. She's not a hot dog person.
Sorry.
No, I'm going to edit that out because that mystery thing of like
Well, here's the thing is something I've been toying with is that Alex has already started developing a crush on Poppy. And
well,
so,
I mean, who could blame you?
Well, because she doesn't necessarily feel safe around the wolfmen of the party.
And the psychologist is crazy.
I know. And then a strong woman comes on the scene who can take shit down and seems relatively stable, comparatively speaking, to the rest of the world around her.
I have a point to make real quick.
Yep.
Doc's about to get himself exactly what he's going
to do. And what would that be, pray tell?
The threesome of the apocalypse. you ever seen Debbie Does Dallas?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes, I have.
Debbie Does Dishes.
Poppy and Alex do old Doc.
No, the threesome of the apocalypse. It's like the four horsemen of the apocalypse with more lubes.
Listening to you guys. I didn't realize how much performing, like, you know, doing the shows that we do prepared me to actually do this.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it's all performance.
It's a lot like, well, it's like, you know, doing a show, creating the character, becoming the character, doing the role playing, and this is just what I do. This is who I am. This is, you know, I created Phoenix, and Phoenix is this, you know, badass, whatever she decides to be for that show. But at the same time, it's exactly the same, except that I actually have a character written out on paper with numbers and everything else instead of with, you know, choreographs and counting to eight and that sort of thing.
And what you're doing is character development. A lot of big actors do this. Vin Diesel is a huge D&D
player. Oh, that's great.
I love him.
Yeah.
Love him.
Will Wheaton is a huge RPG guy.
Not even a secret. Yeah,
we're rapidly becoming the Will Wheaton of Marvel.
Yes. Oh my gosh, life dream achieved.
Well, yeah. I mean,
shut up, Will
Wheaton.
Yeah, shut up, Will.
And this all, you know, I was never a gamer. I didn't really do that. This all happened because of a fire show for me. So it's just kind of weird how the whole thing in my head just now became full circle. So,
oh, and a quick fun. Yes, Will Wheaton, I did just compare you to Vin Diesel. So
you're welcome.
If you want to be a part of this podcast, we do have a Skype in. You're more than welcome.
Real quick, I'd like to make a quick invite to Vin.
Oh, God, that would be hilarious.
Bring the kids. Viv will watch them for hours. You'll actually get to sit in a garage with us. Probably the greatest fucking people on planet Aww. Earth.
And only some... feet away from the most famous punk rock stage.
On planet Earth.
On planet Earth.
That, and I guarantee you, one of these broads is going to give you a foot massage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would 100%. Aww. 100%.
You're sure it's going to be a broad?
All right. I'll give him a foot massage. I don't give a
there
fuck.
We go.
You know they're going to produce some pretty nice goddamn feet, really.
I'm not into feet.
You don't have to be.
Now available at giantrubberdick.com.
Rubber foot.
Now,
Vin Diesel's rubbered foot.
But no, seriously, Vin, we'd like really love you on the show.
We can't talk about that here.
What is it, fucking Fight Club?
Kind of. Yeah.
This is Marl Club. Rule number one, we don't talk about Marl Club.
I think that's the opposite of what this is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but, you know, everybody has an ability and a talent, and many of those are they stay hidden for years until you need them or want to see them or what have you. And one of the fun parts of just that's how I kind of take this whole group of how we're doing this. I mean, are you serious? I've got like five of my friends that I grew up with that, you know, when when you try to describe our childhood, it's sit down. This is an epic story. This makes
really is.
This makes
right back, you know here. Like when we first met, you know, like the first fucking story we were sitting around a campfire, you start telling, I'm like, there's no goddamn way in hell he's fucking making this shit up. And then you're with him and it happens.
Shit occurs. You just got to be there.
Right. And you know, my life's already like that too, where shit occurs in my life and nobody believes it. And
you've seen it.
And then Jesse's sitting next to me and, you know.
You've seen it. You've been at the fairs where someone walks up with a toe looking for Cam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or Cam sends, yeah, or Cam sends somebody to me to get a hunk of hot steel to cauterize a dick injury, you know, or something like that. So
that's actually a true fact. I did send somebody to do that.
Yeah.
I believe I've heard that tale. I believe that tale may have been told.
It was told, yes.
I believe that may have been a tale of high adventure.
I believe it was.
It was also recorded, and so if you donate to our Patreon, you might have access to that bonus material.
Yep.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, this is the best time to do these things is, you know, when my friends from childhood listen to it and they're like, God, we should be able to do that. And you know, it just happens to be one of these things. The nexus points hit where they're supposed to hit, and this is what we're doing. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy this. I try like hell. This was a very ugly, busy, shitty day or two for me. Mm-hmm. And like even when I was sitting out here earlier, I was like, ugh, I don't know if I can pull this off. I got to get my head out of my ass. I was just ready to strangle the shit out of everyone.
Well, yeah, with today's, with the events that have happened this week, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just been hell
on
wheels.
I was there on the way here, too, yeah.
And then I showed up, so you're right. Welcome.
And then it's a kapow.
Yeah, you everything. Make everybody smile.
I know. Mm-hmm. Usually cupcakes, but you know, whatever.
Well, there's other ways for him to make her smile.
Don't you know it.
Mm-mm-mm.
I know, John, you've been asked by many people that what studio do we get to sneak into to record at?
See, now, that's actually the fun thing. I know a bunch of really high-end audio engineers, you know, Grammy-winning guys that for years have been asking me, okay, how did you get that sound? And it's, you know, it's learning how to use what you got. And we're sitting in a garage. There's no sound treatment in here. It's totally just, you know,
well,
figuring.
Well, I haven't tried. I've got one over there. We're
two.
Not using
you
it.
You got two.
Well, okay.
Well, the other one's not finished yet.
And just to really break the minds of our listeners, and I apologize, but these mics are so sensitive, you can hear anytime somebody moves their mouth.
Actually, no.
Maybe it's just in my ears then.
No. it's just that you haven't been exposed to, like, my large diaphragm mic.
Yeah, we need to expose it.
Oh, my God.
Exposure. People die of exposure every day.
I believe it.
You're going to expose her to a large diaphragm?
Somebody asked him.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one that got
Thank
tripped up on that.
Thank you very much.
The first day I got that mic, I plugged it in. I set all the gain at Unity, and I sat there and listened in headphones going, what in the fuck is that sound? Oh, it's the clock. So I took the battery out of the clock. I still hear it. It's the clock in the bathroom, which is the other end of the house. So I took the battery out of that clock. What the hell is that sound? It's the refrigerator running. What's that sound? The dog just farted. What's that sound? Oh my God, that's the neighbors fucking. And they live a quarter mile away. I gotta close the windows. Close the windows, turn the gain up on a little bit. I can hear a TV set. I can't see a TV set. I look out the windows and I can't see what this thing is hearing. And I'm like, where the fuck is it picking it up from? Is that like, you know, radio noise or something? No.
It's my colon.
No, I realize it's actually picking up the neighbor's TV inside their house a quarter mile away. The mic is stupidly sensitive. So I stuck it out the window when a thunderstorm came in, and it's actually up on a lone tone.
Actually, some of our intro audio is that.
Yeah, it is. That's that large diaphragm mic. That is set at, I've got it padded down probably 24 dB. And it's literally just sitting in an open window. The car you hear in that audio about 20 minutes in is probably on the highway about 6 miles away. So, yeah, these mics aren't bad. So we're using what, Behringer's?
Yeah, these are $3 a piece microphones.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a cheap bastard because when we started this, I've done enough projects with other people that usually a project will peter out. So I didn't want to spend too much money. Well, I was really surprised. John, you convinced me to go ahead with the Behringer's because SM58 has been around forever. Everybody's right. Copied it.
Yeah, and it's a clone.
Yeah.
Honestly, the cables they're plugged into are more expensive than a whole three pack of mics.
Yes.
Each individual cable is more than three mics were.
Yes.
The foam covers on them are more than each mic is.
Oh no, these are $9.09 a piece.
Woo-hoo.
Okay,
these are really cheap.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Why that one's falling apart.
Okay. The stands they're on are, you know.
Yeah, those are $30 a piece.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that one isn't.
No.
That's mine. That's cheap.
This is the expensive part.
Hence the tape.
Right. Well, the recorder is actually where we diverge from, you know, you could be doing this at home right now. The biggest issue is all these mics come into a self-contained recording unit that's 8 channels in. Most people are going to have 2 channels in. They're going to have a problem. You have the option of coming into a stereo mixing board, splitting your signal up and, you know, fanning it off in the field, but you're stuck there. You can't have somebody's, you know, audio move across the field as they walk through the room. You just don't have that option.
Which I don't do much. I try to separate, like...
Right.
Dock is always...
But for somebody else,
right.
You know, that could be useful.
Charlie is to mid-left. I don't know where to put you yet. I move you around from episode to episode.
Yeah, but we're gonna swap... And that's another thing that people complained about is being able to pick out the different individual male voices. That's we're actually taking your feedback. We're going to do some changes. We're going to probably swap where Ashcan and Charlie are in the mix so that you'll actually be able to pick them out a little bit easier.
Yep. So the most expensive thing here is a Zoom R16 recorder. Then we edit in Reaper.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it. Mix down and send it out.
The big, big, big secret is in Reaper, there's a plugin called Reafir, R-E-A-F-I-R. And there's always, when we record, a little 5-second spot of quietness. You take that, you make a noise signature, and it goes through and it takes out whatever is in that noise signature. So you want to make sure you stop it before it gets to your voice, otherwise your voice is gone.
Yeah, getting these murder hobos to be quiet for 5 seconds, though, is a little difficult.
Good luck.
We all look at him, hopefully, and then... beg to be the first one to talk after.
And as soon as he counts down, it's just this explosion of jerkiness. You know?
Now, have you noticed the first two episodes, your voice is the first... No, actually, very first is my voice, and we go straight to you.
Why?
Doc.
He's pointed
out. But the episode 2 and 3, we start out with Charlie, wanting to know what the hell's wrong with everyone.
Yes. Well, you know, that's why I posed the questions I did, because I knew what people were trying to lead into, and that way it didn't just all of a sudden come up out of the blue.
But that's on the technical side. I don't want to bore people to death
with
that.
No, that's... And I'll shorten it up a little bit anyway.
Ooh, that's nice.
Redemption.
Wow, that was good.
Shout out to Redemption Podcast.
You know, if we
please
get enough burps,
us.
That could be previously on and just nothing but everybody.
Well, I'm somewhere between a giraffe's ass.
I can't
and
start
an eagle's
this
dick.
Episode with previously on because we've never done it before.
I know. I was real tempted to put that on episode one so people would let me go, wait, what?
I would do it. I would go previously on because
I plan to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've been playing around with this, so I'm just going to do it. All right, you ready? So, Alex. Mm-hmm. Tell old Doc here. Give me a little something about yourself. Well, no.
Like, what do you mean? Like?
Well, I know you're an engineer, but...
For a second, I thought you were going to ask me to take my clothes off.
Well, not yet.
Oh, okay.
That's only for exams.
Doc's... Well, unfortunately,
why are there daily exams?
Daily exams.
Checking for moles and ticks and shit.
Then shut the fuck up.
You see me naked every day. Every day.
Time to look for chicks and have your ticks and have your breast exam. Stop getting your clothes blown off.
I know, right?
It's not my goddamn fault. I'm here to examine you.
No, but it is yours, Poppy.
There's a lot of young thirsty men out there that hear your voice every so often.
Oh, jeez. I know so many of them.
Desperately of you.
There are men masturbating to your voice right now.
First of all, thank you. I am flattered. Nothing makes a girl feel quite so pretty.
My head, the vapors.
And all you gamer nerds out there, that's exactly how you approach a woman.
You feel pretty now, don't you?
You'd be surprised the amount of feel emails pretty. I actually feel. Get that say, I masturbate to your pictures.
Feel
I don't want to know this.
Feel pretty.
There you go.
Yeah. When we,
neither
when
do
we
our
did
listeners.
Right. Oh, God. So much editing to do.
You get to feel my pain. Okay, I had to edit
this. I'm going in.
Just a minute.
Well, this is why she needed to know that people masturbate to her voice.
You know? All right.
Okay, then.
And you got to learn to grow, right?
That's what he said.
And that wraps up another tangential train wreck. That is After Tomorrow's End, Episode 2. Join us again in 2 weeks when Tomorrow's End comes out with its next episode, and again in about a month for episode 3 of After Tomorrow's End, where everyone goes completely off the rails, tangents, and even weirder things I have to edit out. If you enjoyed this one, please share it, please spread it around, hopefully this one wasn't too bizarre for everybody out there, and hopefully it makes you feel better about your own gaming group and you realize that, hey, we're not as weird as we thought we were.